The Alaska Supreme Court has ordered the state to recalculate the refunds due in an overpayment case of non-resident commercial fishing fees. The class action suit started in 1984 on behalf of all non-residents participating in Alaska commercial fisheries. The case has come before the state Supreme Court five times already. The focus this time around is $62 million in interest and $7.5 million in attorney's fees. The court ruled on Friday that a lower court made a mistake in calculating the interest and also said the attorney's fees need adjustment. Non-resident commercial fishermen argue the state illegally charged them more because it charged residents for commercial permits and licenses. Between 1984 and 2002, non-residents paid three times as much as residents. A Juneau guide is expected to plead guilty to new charges stemming from alleged bear baiting and guiding violations. 37-year-old Michael Patrick Duby will appear in Juneau District Court February 1st. The charges filed earlier this month include unsworn falsification, unlawful possession or transportation of game, and bear baiting without a permit. Duby is owner and operator of Fish Hunter Charters in Juneau. His father, brothers, and other associates, including a deckhand and a Hawaii man, have already been charged in related game and sport fish guide violations. Duby was named in charging documents in those other cases. Michael Patrick Duby is awaiting sentencing on a federal charge related to selling migratory bird parts over the internet. That is scheduled for February 1st, the same day that Duby is expected to appear in state court. The lead sponsor of a law setting new disclosure requirements for ballot initiatives wants the organizers of a coastal management initiative to release their contribution list earlier than required. Representative Kyle Johansson of Ketchikan says the ballot group is following the law, which calls for quarterly reports, but he says it's important the lawmakers know who funded the effort. The group handed in signatures last week in hopes of getting a coastal management initiative on this year's ballot. Lawmakers can preempt the measure if it qualifies by passing substantially similar legislation. The group registered in October, and its latest financial report shows fourth quarter contributions. Johansson says quarterly reporting may be a weakness of the law, but he says he wants to see the process play out to fully evaluate the law's strengths and weaknesses. The legislature has dealt with the formalities of opening the session and staking out their territory for the issues that lie ahead. And this week, they actually go to work. Dave Donaldson has more.
Legislators are nearly ready to fall into the routine work of the session. But first, a week for catching up on what happened during the interim. Most members did spend the summer and fall learning about oil and taxes in anticipation of dealing with tax cuts the governor wants. So they'll use the hearings this week to get up to date on legal reviews of high-profile court cases, invasive species, the economics of oil and methane conversion, and the status of various energy projects around the state. The most ambitious of the updates is the Crime Summit. 2 days of hearings Tuesday and Wednesday, sponsored by the Senate Judiciary Committee, and featuring presentations by some 25 specialists in fields ranging from the effects of education on crime rates to the Electronic Bail Conditions Project to a report from the Departments of Corrections, Law, and Public Safety. This is also the week that finance committees and subcommittees began taking detailed looks at the budgets Governor Parnell made public last month. I'm Dave Donaldson in Juneau.
President Obama has appointed an Alaskan to an advisory board for U.S. travel and tourism. He chose the chief executive officer of Alaska Wildland Adventures. As Daisha Eaton reports, the appointment is part of a push to boost the tourism economy.
President Obama appointed Alaska Wildland Adventures CEO Kirk Hessel to the National Visitor Industry Advisory Board at the recommendation of Senator Mark Begich. Hessel runs the Girdwood-based adventure travel company, and he says he hopes to bring an Alaskan voice to the table.
I felt a little bit out of place at first because we're such a tiny company. I knew that there were leaders of some very large companies that were usually involved with this sort of thing, but it was very encouraging. It appears that the Secretary of Commerce went out of his way to make sure that there were lots of viewpoints represented.
Hessel's one of 32 people appointed to the board. The president is calling on the advisory board to help boost the U.S. tourism economy. His goal is job creation. Hessel says after years of developing a tourism business in Alaska that takes the environment into account, he hopes to share what he's learned.
One of the things that has always been a priority for us is to operate in a low-impact manner, a sustainable manner. As more and more people are conscious of choices they make in their lifestyles, trying to conserve energy, trying to have a lighter footprint on the earth, research has shown that more and more people are setting out to purchase vacation services that leave a lighter footprint. And I think a lot of the concepts, a lot of lessons learned over the years in Alaska, we can share with our colleagues across the states.
Alaska's travel and tourism industry is driving more than $2 billion in spending annually and employing in excess of 40,000 people. It's doing better than the lower 48s, but Hessel says there are still challenges.
Alaska is a long distance destination for most people. Therefore, it can be expensive to get here. It takes more time. That's why we had the downturns in travel and tourism after the events of September 11th. That's why we had the downturn after, 2008, 2009, the recession. And while we have seen some growth, we're still on our way back as an industry.
One bright spot in his business over the years, Hessel says, has been an increase in international visitors. Making it easier for foreigners to visit the U.S., he says, and bring their dollars here is something President Obama touched on when he addressed the advisory board.
International travel is very important to Alaska. It's a growing area. We're seeing growth in countries where we really haven't been able to do any marketing, such as Brazil and India and Israel. I mean, people are coming anyway, and if we can help nurture these markets, it's going to benefit Alaska and benefit all of the United States.
The board had their first meeting this week in Orlando. Hessel attended and says they discussed an array of issues. Of particular interest was an update on efforts by the federal government to streamline the tourist visa process.
As I understand it, more and more employees have been added to facilitate that training on processing and streamlining the whole visa process is something that's under the works right now, which could be a very good thing. More and more travelers, especially from some of these emerging markets such as Brazil and China.
And Hessel says he hopes he'll be seeing more and more visitors to Alaska from places like Brazil and China by the time the upcoming tourism season rolls around again in April. That's right around the time he says he'll meet again with the National Visitor Industry Advisory Board in Los Angeles. In Anchorage, I'm Daisha Eaton.
10 Republican senators are asking the Environmental Protection Agency to put a draft report that theorizes a link between hydraulic fracturing and groundwater pollution in a Wyoming gas field through a more rigorous level of scientific review. The senators include James Inhofe of Oklahoma and Lisa Murkowski of Alaska. They put the request to the EPA Administrator Lisa Jackson in a letter on Friday. The senators want the report classified as a highly influential scientific assessment that would require more rigorous peer review standards. Hydraulic fracturing, or fracking, is a petroleum industry practice to fracture rock inside oil and gas wells. The draft EPA report released in December theorized that industry activity, including fracking, may have caused groundwater contamination. EPA officials did not return messages seeking comment.